Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
A perfect game for David Cone. The third time. Works like a charm. It is the third perfect game in Yankee Stadium history. Don Larson in 56. David Wells in 98. David Cone in 99. 27 up. 27 down. David Cone has attained baseball immortality.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, McMonagle here with you, 2:03. If you were expecting Bobby Darin in the open, sorry, I was on around 1:10. You can go back and listen on the rewind feature of the Odyssey app. Go check out the open. Obviously, talking Rangers. I'm watching the highlights now of the Dallas Mavericks and the Minnesota Timberwolves as Dallas takes care of Minnesota. An incredible performance from Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. They take care of Minnesota in five games, and it will be Dallas versus Boston in the NBA Finals starting on June 6th. So we got some time before that series starts, before all the... Oh, McNutt's still working for ESPN. Good for her. But we got time before Kyrie heads back to Boston. That should be fun. But we here in New York, we are focused on the Rangers, who the series is not over. They did not lose, but they need to figure out a way to get their best players playing better. They need to figure out a way to be better in the third period. They need to figure out a way to get some scoring chances 5-on-5. They need to figure out a way to get the power play back on track. There's a lot of things to figure out before Game 6 on Saturday night. But hey, this team has done this all year. I'm still confident they're going to give you the effort. They just have to come up with a way to get it done. And Panarin, Zibanejad, and Kreider. And listen, let's throw Lafreniere in there. I mean, he's been great, but not to say he needs to do more because he's been phenomenal. But I'm going to throw him in there as one of their top players. That's what he's been right now. So these guys have to perform in Game 6. Steve in Rockland, what's up, Steve?
You know, Chris, you're taking the words right out of my mouth. I have to tell you that here's an interesting situation. Rangers don't win the Presidents. They don't have the best record without Panarin and Zibanejad.
Of course.
So you got to be careful what you're asking for here. Hypothetically, let's say they don't, you know, prevail, which I'm not going there. I'm not going to be glass half empty on this. All right. So, well, they're both signed. MZ and Panarin are both signed for long term.
Mm-hmm.
They're both signed for long term contracts at this time. So then you're going to have to see which teams. And that's a completely separate issue. I will say this tonight. I focused when I was watching the game. I was focused on Florida's tactics, you know, like wonky kind of approach to watch, especially with Panarin. Okay. Now, here's what I would say, and I'm sure in film, you know, when they're looking at this, when they have, like, when they're triangulating him, because they're taking him away, there's no question. They're saying, the other guys, we want the other guys to beat us. Even though the other thing was, a couple of times when he got into the offensive zone, I was like, can you do a little bit? I watched him. I was wondering if he could maybe do a little bit better with his effort, you know, on net than what he did. I mean, one time it was like a 12-year-old shooting a puck into the corner. And I was like, what's going on? But I was watching what they were doing, all right? And when it's 3-on-1, that means it's 4-on-2 somewhere else on the ice.
Right.
And if he can recognize that quicker, okay, maybe that would help him. But that third period, the Rangers had success when they designated somebody to skate the puck out. That is when they were able to generate some offense. Because that third period, sure, words have never been spoken, what you were saying. They were choking. They were not allowing the Rangers, never mind that they weren't allowing them to enter their offensive zone across the blue line.
Yeah.
They weren't letting them. They were choking them off before they even got to the blue line.
Yeah.
They were just entangling them. I'll give them credit. I got to give them credit.
No, I mean, of course, Steve. You got to give the Panthers credit. They've been the better team in the series. And you're right, in that third period, it was impossible to get out of the zone. It was impossible to get out of the zone. And again, I'm not saying that this is the Panthers aren't doing what they can to shut down Panarin. I'm not saying they're not making it difficult on him. I'm not saying that they are singling him out or, you know, whatever the case may be. If you are a great player, if you are going to be a guy who had transformed himself and took more shots and was more aggressive this year, and you have the points you have, you're the leader of the team in many ways. You're the guy that everyone tries to slow down. You're the leader of this team. You're the MVP candidate from this team, and you're supposed to be the guy who takes them to the promised land. You have got to have an impact on the series. I don't care what they do with you. And I'm sorry, I refuse to believe, that either hockey or the Panthers specifically, that there are ways to completely eliminate a player and there's nothing he can do. I refuse to believe it. In no sport is it impossible to impact the game. There's no way the Florida Panthers have the magic code to make sure Panarin doesn't impact the game. There's no way. They can make it difficult, and they have. He's got to overcome. I mean, I don't care. And he's got to be more impactful on the power play. Now, thankfully, you know, the penalty kill was clearly much better. They get another shorthanded goal. They're sixth of the postseason. And now I saw that Kreider is tied in Rangers history for the most shorthanded goals in postseason history for a New York Ranger, tied with Mark Messier with 3. But that's their sixth shorthanded goal of the entire playoffs. Remarkable. But they managed to clamp that down a little bit after Florida had really gained some traction over the last two games with their power play. That was better. The whole game was better. They were better. Not necessarily better than Florida, but better than their version of themselves from games 3 and 4, without question. This was a legitimately well-played game by the New York Rangers. They still lost, and they still didn't get enough from their stars, even though you get the Kreider goal, even though you get the Zibanejad 2 assists. Like, just not enough. Not enough scoring chances 5-on-5. Not enough in the third period. And I'm just watching the replay now. That empty net goal bothers me. I'm sorry. Zibanejad takes a very light hit to the face, and he's trying to sell an elbow to the face instead of playing. Now, he comes back, breaks his stick, gets one off the bench, comes in and leads, you know, has the assist on the Lafreniere goal to make it 3-2 and give them some life there. But there's a couple of mistakes in this game that really, you know, get under my skin, and they just can't happen if they're going to want to win this series. Reese, I'm in Alapin. What's up, Reese?
Hey, Chris. First time, long time. Cover a couple points of the Rangers. You took the words right out of my mouth, mentioning how the stars simply have to be better. Guys like Panarin, Zibanejad, yeah. I couldn't agree more. You got guys who are making the salary of $11 million like Panarin, and all the people are going to look back on the casuals, whether they're diehards. They're going to look at the zero goals in the goal column, and that's just simply unacceptable. Whether it comes on the power play or even strength at this point, I don't care.
I agree.
And you need more out of your stars if you're going to advance. You can't have all these stars going blank in the series in the East Conference Final. It just cannot happen.
No, 100%. You can't go and beat the Florida Panthers. You can't go beat the Florida Panthers in a 7-game series and have Lafreniere and Goodrow being your most offensive players. Like, it's just, it's not enough.
And not to mention, I think all of us as close avid hockey watchers, we can all see Adam Fox, clearly not himself.
No.
Definitely playing injured or something.
He's so slow.
That's a big blow.
It's a huge blow.
That's a big.
But I can't. He played 22 minutes in this game. He played almost 23 minutes. I can't say. If he's out there, he's out there. He's playing 23 minutes.
I couldn't agree more.
I believe Zibanejad and Panarin are the only two players on the team that played more minutes. Like, if he's going to play 23 minutes, I can't claim, oh, he's so injured. He's playing 23 minutes. You got to be better if you're out there.
I agree. If he's playing the minutes, he's playing the minutes.
He's got to be better, and he's so slow. My God, he's so slow.
Like, he can't win a puck battle in the corner.
Nope.
Tkachuk and Barkov have just been eating his lunch all 5 games.
All
5 games.
He's been terrible. And I feel for him. You're right, Reese. We all know it. We watch. He's dealing with something. But I can't just say, oh, what are you going to do? He's dealing with something. I mean, these opportunities don't come around. We don't know what the team's going to look like next year or where they'll be. This is the Eastern Conference Finals. This is the best team in hockey in the third period all year long. They're at home. They're tied 1-1 in the third period, and he's killing them. So, I'm sorry. I'd love to give Fox a pass, but I can't do it. I can't do it. And I'm pissed about a bunch of different things. I'm telling you that I was fuming when Gustafson takes that penalty instead of allowing it to be 5-on-3. Fuming. I don't care. I understand the nature of hockey. This is what gets me in trouble with hockey fans. I understand you want to be physical, you want to protect your goalie. The goalie got run. You got to go, and it shouldn't have been called. It's typical hockey. I'm sorry. He went in there, he threw the guy down and then jumped on him. And then got on top of him. They're going to call it. You can't do that. You need the 5-on-3. They need to score goals. You want to win this series. It's not about, but we've seen it. He can protect himself. Igor can protect himself. Igor's out there throwing punches. Igor's hitting Tkachuk. I mean, Igor can take care of himself. I can't believe they didn't get a 5-on-3 there. I can't believe it. I mean, you have to. Mike and Merrick, what's up, Mike?
You gotta go.
Mike, you're listening through your radio through the phone, bud. What's up?
Yes. Hey.
Yes. Hey.
Hey, what's going on with the Rangers? I don't get it.
Mike, I look to you for confidence, Mike. I look to you when I take your phone calls, Mike. I expect to hear how they're going to win. They're going to sweep. They're going to dominate. They're going to win 17-2. You can't call me up and ask me what they're doing, Mike. You got to tell me, what are they doing?
Let me explain this to you, okay?
Okay.
For game 6 on Saturday, put Jonathan Quick in. Why are you putting Igor? Jonathan Quick was doing so good.
Mike, you're kidding. Really, Mike?
Yes. You know why?
Why?
Because they're using Igor too much.
No, Mike.
They're putting in Igor too much. Why do you put Jonathan Quick in?
Because Igor is the best goalie in the world.
Okay, we all know that. And Jonathan Quick does excellent in the regular season.
Yeah, but Okay, but what is that? Do you think they're losing because Igor's not good enough? Do you think they're losing because they would be better with Quick in there? He would make more saves?
Yes, but I'm going to switch the first line. We're going to put Grider. Rich Grider.
Yeah.
With Darren. And Matt.
Matt who?
Matt Ruffy.
You want Matt Rempe in the first line with Kreider and Panarin?
Yes. Okay. And put Bonjet in the fourth line. Bonjet is not doing nothing. Zero.
No, I know, Mike, and thank you for the call, but come on. I love you, Mike, and I love the optimism. Why would you take Igor? Igor is the best player. Ego is the reason this series isn't over already. I understand Quick, played well this year, and Quick deserves some credit, no doubt about it. The way he was able to play and keep Igor fresh and how good he's been, they already re-signed him. Quick was great. You don't take out Igor right now. He's killing it. Igor is the one reason they're still in this series. If they're going to win game six, you're not going to put in a cold Quick now. Come on, Mike. Let's go. Let's have a little faith. Let's give a little respect to what Igor is. Igor is the best player on the team. Igor is the one thing between them and already golfing. I mean, come on, Mike. They're going to do it. I still think they have a chance in game six. It's winning one game. They got to go win one game. These games are all tight. These games are all close. These are all one goal games. Go figure out a way to get the goal. Go figure out a way to make the play. Make it harder on Bobrovsky. You got to throw more, guys in front of the net. You got to make it more, and Boyle was talking about in the postgame, which, by the way, he is excellent. Brian Boyle is excellent doing the pre and post coverage for MSG. Terrific. And I was driving in. I was like, I had to help my wife with something, so I was a little later than I wanted to be. So I heard like the first 7 minutes or so of the first period in the car. Sam Rosen was back on the call. Good to hear Sam. Hope he's doing well, feeling good. Obviously he was. He was doing the call on the radio, did a great job. And, Boyle was just great. And he's talking about it. When you have, they got to figure out a way to create some weird scoring. Like, they just have to figure out a way to get more bodies in front of the net. Figure out a way to maybe muck things up there, because just 5-on-5, they're not getting the chances. They're just not getting the chances. And, you can't plan for breakaways. Like, there are shots there. Instead of, shoot it just wide, get some bounces off the boards, figure out something, put more guys out front. They're going to have to figure out a way to create and make things more difficult for Bobrovsky, because honestly, he's getting a good, clean look at all these shots. Really haven't made it tough on him. They got to figure out a way to do it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Come back. Continue to take your phone calls. We will get to the baseball. As the Yankees keep on rolling, but they have been bit with the first real injury of the season. Plus, he's not going to be Joe DiMaggio. Not just yet, at least. We'll get to that. And then the Mets. Obviously, the Lopez situation where he clarified himself a little bit yesterday. And then what came from the meeting as the Mets did get a victory? One thing that I honestly think you could look at as a major positive coming from yesterday's game and the meeting the day before. So we'll get to the baseball. Who's calling plays for the New York Giants? We can get to that too if we have some time. But your calls on the Rangers still as they look to go and take a game six in Florida Saturday night after losing game five at home 3-2. Things need to change. And Panarin, Zibanejad, and Kreider need to show up.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Now the pass across, they score! The Rangers take a 4-3 lead with 4:19 remaining. Long shift and the finish by Chris Kreider. A third period hat trick.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, McMonagle here with you. 227. Bum, bum. So fresh and so clean, clean. Yeah, speaking about so fresh and so clean, I wore my Brad Richards jersey. My one Rangers jersey. I wore it here today to the station. I've been here since 8:30. I wanted to watch the games in peace without the kids, you know, running around or, you know. And then leaving at the end of these, of course, the one game that I decide to come in for because I don't like, you know, the last two nights I've been driving in listening to the end of the Yankee games and they're tight. You know, these Yankee games, I listened to the blown save in the first game against Anaheim where they lose the game. Then I'm driving in listening to them hold on in the ninth inning last night. Like, and I'm just like, I can't watch the end of these games. Or listen to the end of these games on the radio. As much as Justin Shackle's done a great job and the radio broadcast is great, I'm a watcher. What can I tell you? I'd rather watch the games. So is this? I was like, all right, I can't do this again. Plus, it's the Rangers. I want to be. I don't want to have to worry about when I'm going to leave. Blah, blah, blah. So I came in my nice Ranger jersey. I took a picture, which I don't love to do, but I took a picture and promoted the show with the picture. And I was like, God, I'm so gray. Man, you turn 40 before you know it. Like, my hair is just full of gray hairs. So old. So old. I'm old enough to remember 94. And I hope that we see a repeat. We've talked so much about 94 and the Garden Party, which, by the way, they were there at the, right? It was Brunson, his father, Josh Hart, and Coach Tibbs were at the Ranger game last night. Unfortunately, they didn't bring them any luck. As they lose, I didn't bring any luck to the team either with my Brad Richards jersey, watching here from the station. Very frustrating night for the New York Rangers and their fans, and they're going to have to figure out a way to win Game 6. Good night for the Mets, though. Following one of the worst days in Met, you know, recent history in the Cohen era, just so much went on. It was such a debacle and such a crap show. Like, it was just... What a crazy day. And it ended up being followed up by last night, a very solid win from the New York Mets. And that's right, you could still have solid wins, even now being 10 games under 500. This every journey begins with one step. And yesterday was just a solid win. Obviously, you got the news early on that they were, in fact, going to designate for assignment Jorge Lopez. He clarified what he said and talked about being a teammate. And I you could tell. I'm surprised so many people, like, you could tell he was talking about himself. But even if that's not why he was designated for assignment, he clearly, you know, he disrespected the manager, if that's what you want to call it. He didn't care that the manager was pissed. They clearly spoke, and probably in the conversations they had, he said, yeah, I don't really agree, I don't care. Then he made it very clear to the media and to all of us that he didn't care the manager was upset. Like, he just... It wasn't going to work here. I wish him well. I mean, Boomer told us this morning, I was taking the kids to school and I heard Boomer mention that he's heard that Jorge Lopez's son is, you know, waiting for a transplant of some kind. And obviously, being a father of two boys, can't even imagine. So we wish him the best, but it just wasn't going to be a fit here any longer. So you get that news and the clarification that he was indeed talking about himself and not saying the Mets are the worst team in baseball, blah, blah, blah. Then you find out the news that Pete's just day-to-day, that the CT scan reveals there is no break. It's just a bruise, day-to-day, out of the lineup. And they start this game against Zach Gallen, who's one of the better pitchers in the National League, and you figure they're in for it following that team meeting. And what happens is Gallen leaves the game, and despite that, in the first inning with injury, he only faces one batter, leaves the game with injury. But here's what comes out of the game. What comes out of the game is Francisco Lindor. This was a great day for Francisco Lindor in many ways. Francisco Lindor was the guy who called the meeting. Francisco Lindor is the guy who's absolutely struggling this year, who's supposed to be your superstar, and has been as big a culprit, if not the biggest culprit, of why they are where they are. And while yesterday's 4-for-4 performance doesn't make me all of a sudden believe those days are behind him, or he still has a lot more to prove, and it doesn't excuse what he's done, but when we're all questioning who the leaders are on this team, when we're all trying to figure out what's wrong with this core, hell, they're having the meeting and trying to figure out what's wrong with this core. When we're looking for leadership so desperately that it's almost like, you know, you're in the desert looking for the oasis, and when you realize it's not real, you drink the sand. Like, we felt like we were drinking sand watching this Met team. And he calls that meeting, and the next day, he goes 4-for-4, hits a solo home run to make it 2-1, responds immediately to the two runs Arizona scores in the third. The offense still does nothing against a Diamondbacks bullpen that's in scramble mode after Gallen goes down. And then you have the seventh inning and the eighth inning. In the seventh inning, Pete Alonso is able to pinch hit. Despite his fingers bothering him, he comes through with a double. Lindor drives him in. And then J.D. Martinez hits the home run, and Reed Garrett makes it. Walks the leadoff guy in the ninth. You figure, oh, here you go. And instead, to quote the great Mike Francesa, bing, bing, bing. And the Mets have a nice little tidy 3-2 win where Lindor, the leader of the team, the unquestioned leader, they called him such after the game. When you call out your teammates, like he did, he insists on a meeting. And then in the meeting, I don't know what was said, but in the post game, and talking to the media after the meeting, he's talking about his teammates pretty much not working hard enough and that he doesn't know if he trusts everybody's plan on how to get ready in preparation, which pretty much means we need to do more and we need to work harder. And he comes out the next day and goes 4-for-4 with a home run, the game-tying hit, and is right there is the driving force of a victory that was desperately needed for this team. So I don't know if he's going to suddenly turn it around. And now he's hitting .225. I don't know if this is the beginning where you look back and say, this is where Lindor got hot. I don't know. I hope so. I think there's a very good chance of it. And maybe even where the Mets go on a run. I still think they're flawed. I still think this core is a problem. And I still think they're probably destined to be worse than I hoped they would be at the beginning of the year and miss the playoffs, even with the extra wild card. But at least Lindor stepped up as someone who's going to be here for a long time and showed you signs of true leadership. I'm sorry. That's what leaders do. I know he makes all the money. I know it's been a disappointment overall, I suppose, at least the wins and losses for this team. He's had some good years. He's had some down years, and he's been off to a terrible start. He was bad in June last year while the season was fading. He's been bad in May here while the season is fading. But he called out his teammates, and then he followed it up with a 4-for-4 performance and a driving force in a much-needed victory. That is what leaders do. And whether or not this is going to turn the season around or whether or not it's going to turn his personal season around, I don't know. But it answered a question about who the leader of this team is. And it answered a question about what Lindor is. And what Lindor's character is and what Lindor's resolve is. Lindor showed up. Lindor called the meeting, called out his teammates, and then, of course, after the game, you got J.D. Martinez telling you it was the most productive, team meeting he's ever experienced. And it was I've never left more positive, and it's all about fun. That's what it gave you the opportunity to do. That's what Francisco Lindor and the New York Mets gave themselves an opportunity to do. Come out of that meeting, win a game, and then try and sell us all on how important and impactful the meeting was and how it can change the season. And all we got to do is believe in ourselves, have a little bit more fun, and understand, hey, we can get this done. Does it take a little luck to get Zach down? I mean, it's not like they scored a ton of runs, but Zach Allen goes down, you feel a little bit lucky. One at bat into this game. But if they would have just lost Or if Reed Garrett blows that game in the ninth, it's a completely different feel. But because they won it and they held on, and because Lindor was so important, and because Pete pinch hits and gives you a clutch double to start that seventh, and J.D. Martinez, your slugger, your veteran slugger, the one main addition to the lineup you made in the offseason, hits a bomb to dead center field to give you the lead. That's a good win for the Mets. In a season where I can count the terrible losses off the top of my head, five or six, and it's, you're hard-pressed to find the good wins, this is a good one. This is a good win. This was a much-needed just sort of palate cleanser. This was a Lindor intermezzo that was absolutely needed, because you needed to put yesterday behind you. And I understand maybe, you know, you played 162, eventually it would have been put behind them. But coming off all of that, the DFA of Jorge Lopez, the disaster that was that series against Los Angeles and getting your tails kicked in for three straight games. You know, the idea that maybe Pete's going to be on the shelf for a little, all right, you find no broken fingers, but still it's day to day. You might need some time. And instead he gets right back into the game and makes an impact. Lindor calls a meeting, gets right into the game and makes an impact. Reed Garrett, who's going to have to clearly step up as the rest of the bullpen is now in complete disarray. And I'll tell you what, another angle to this is now, this is the, I believe, the second time where Hauser's come in and done a decent job in the bullpen. And he came in and gave you two clean innings. And if he can be a productive member of the bullpen that's desperately looking for it, I mean, that would be a nice little thing to have happen to you, because right now you're going to need Reed Garrett to step up because Ottavino's going through it. You've obviously lost Diaz to injury right now. You just DFA'd Jorge Lopez. I mean, these are the guys that you've already, you know, lost the lefty to injury. For some reason, his name's Raley to injury. I mean, the bullpen's in absolute disarray. It's been what once was arguably the strength of the team has become a real mess. And if you could have a guy like Hauser step in and be able to be productive, Reed Garrett's going to obviously have to be a big part of it. And so just all around clean, crisp win. Plus, you got Christian Scott giving you a, you know, a decent performance of five innings, two runs. And you know how important he's going to be into this rotation looking forward. But ultimately, a nice, clean, crisp win to just get your mind off of the disaster that was the day before and allows you to, hey, dream for a second. And let's be fair, this Arizona Diamondback team isn't any good. And they went through their entire bullpen. And, you know, it might be in a tough position the rest of the series. Go out there and take three or four from the Diamondbacks, and suddenly you feel a little bit better about yourself coming off the meeting, and you're allowed to believe, hey, Lindor, maybe Lindor gets hot. Hey, that meeting kind of, and you can have one of those line of demarcation moments where you're like, hey, that was the moment, and you can fool yourself, and or at least start to believe, because belief is a powerful thing. If you've listened to me talk about the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, I am big on the power of belief. They believe in Aaron Rodgers. And if the Mets can believe that they aired some stuff out and they've moved on from it, and Lindor can look at it as a moment where he said, I'm going to be the leader of this team, and then followed it up immediately with his best game of the year, well, that's how you build. And you build one win on top of the next win on top of the next win, and you just see how it goes. Because I do think they have a streak in them, and it'd be nice to happen right now. It'd be nice to happen right this second.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
All right, 247. So we like to talk about 1994. We've had some fun with it. The Garden Party, the Knicks and Rangers, and all these playoff games every night. And yes, the Knicks have been out of it for a little while now, but the Rangers aren't done just yet. And it is amazing how weird it is, the similarities to that 94. I mean, it's amazing that it's the exact same. The series has gone exactly the same way, where it's the Rangers lose game one, they win game three and four, and they lose five and six. I mean, that's pretty weird. The Devils beat the Rangers in game one 4-3 in double overtime. There were three double overtime games in that series. I mean, this really goes back to like the beginning of my memory of watching hockey. Like May of 94, I am 9 years old. So I mean, maybe just because it's so long ago, I feel like other people claim that they have memories of like 6, 7, 8, 9, much more vivid than I do. I just don't. I honestly don't. I remember certain things. I remember where I was. I know for a fact I watched every game of the Stanley Cup Finals at my friend Chris Vertan's house. That I remember. But I don't remember the games all that much. I mean, I've since gone back and I know what happened. I remember Messier's guarantee. I for some reason I remember the newspaper that morning. But, like, when I look at these box scores, 2-3, game one, Devils win in double overtime 4-3. Game two, the Rangers win 4-0. Game three, Rangers win 3-2 in double overtime. Game four, Devils win 3-1. Game five, at Madison Square Garden, Devils win 4-1. And then game six, obviously, the guarantee for Messier. The hat trick, Rangers win 4-2, and then they win game seven. Mateau. I jammed it in the door. That's a stupid joke. Game seven, 2-1 in double overtime. And that's what this Ranger team is going to have to show. We mentioned the first caller of the night. Or morning, on this Friday morning. Talked about the difference between the stars on this team and the stars on that 94 team. And while, yeah, clearly, you know, Mark Messier had already established himself as a, you know, great all-star player in the NHL by that point and won championships with Gretzky in Edmonton. And he comes here as, you know, the savior and changes the franchise. But besides that, yeah, you know, Graves and Richter and Leach. I mean, Leach was at the point, you know, famously having issues with the coach. The coach didn't want to play him. Like, there was all kinds of problems with that team. But ultimately, those guys were tough. And up against the wall, and with no other option, they just pushed forward. And that this team is going to have to do it, too, because what bothers me, too, is, you know, Panarin's obviously had the issues in the postseason before.
You know, he's been, this is not the first time we've seen Panarin disappear inside a playoff series. We've seen it before. But, I mean, throughout this year, throughout this entire season, despite all the winning, despite the amazing first 18 games of the year, then there was a little bit of a lull, and then, you know, right around the All-Star break, they come out, and they just, all year long, Carolina is such a good team, can't catch them. You know, Florida's a good team, can't catch them for the President's Trophy. Like, the Rangers just were able to always find a way to stay ahead of the pack. And yet, despite that, well, they're so bad 5-on-5. They rely on the power play. I don't know if they're tough enough. I look at them as paper tigers. I don't know, in a playoff series, they're underdog against Carolina. They're underdog against Florida. Like, there's been a level of lack of belief. There's been a level of lack of trust. There's been a level of, yes, they're talented and they're good and they've had a great regular season, but ultimately they're not good enough to win the Stanley Cup. They're not good enough to get through the gauntlet that is the Stanley Cup playoffs. They're not good enough. I don't trust them. I don't buy it. They're soft. You get that as I was, you know, as we're getting ready for the playoffs to start, as the season was coming to an end, that's what I heard a lot. That's what I heard a lot in podcasts. That's what I heard a lot from former players. That's what I heard. It's what I heard. And yeah, on some level, maybe they've already kind of pushed past that, taking down a very good Carolina team and, you know, putting their foot in the sand and saying this far but no further after losing two games but winning game six and the Kreider's heroics and all that. But ultimately, this Panther team is who they were talking about. This type of Panther team that had been in the Stanley Cup Finals, that is physical, that is tough, that knows what it takes to win. When push comes to shove, when you get thrown into a series with that team, the Rangers and their stars don't have it. The offense doesn't have it. They can't get the scoring. They aren't tough enough. That was the prevailing thought. And the idea that the Rangers would allow that talk to be justified, to allow that talk to be validated, to have all of those people say, I told you so, to this group that all year long fought against it, all year long made sure that they stayed ahead of the division, of the President Trophy race, whatever the case may be. Anytime there was adversity, they came from behind more than anybody. They never lost multiple games in a row. Like all the every time someone doubted them, this team's been able to say, screw you. Oh, you're going to blow the series. Oh, you're losing in the third period. You're going to lose three games in a row after being up 3-0. You're going to blow this thing. Screw you. Oh, you're getting outplayed by the Panthers. All right, we'll win game 2 and 3. Screw you. Well, this is their last opportunity. This is the last screw you they have. Because if they go to Florida and they lose this, not only is it a colossal disappointment for us as Ranger fans, not only is it a colossal disappointment for aspirations of a President's Trophy winner, not only is it a massive disappointment for this team, this coach, everything they've been through, the stars of this team, but it's a culmination of everything people said being right. And ultimately, that's what it will be. And they'll have to look at themselves. And Chris Drury, who I think has done an excellent job with this team, who every time they need to get tougher after what happened with Washington a couple years ago, they got to get tougher, they got to get stronger, they go out and do it. Oh, he recognizes there's an issue with the coach, he goes out and gets Laviolette, and it's made a world of difference. But if Panarin, Zibanejad, I guess Kreider, although, you know, he's been tough and he's been a good playoff performer in previous years and he did have the hat trick that won them that series in that game. But, like, if this core since we're talking about cores here a lot, if this core group is going to end up being exactly what everybody thought and being soft and, you know, not being good enough 5-on-5 and not being tough enough and not having stars that know how to play playoff hockey, the only thing left is figure out how to get a group that can win the Stanley Cup. And I understand the long-term contracts. I understand where they are. I understand that it's not as easy as just blow it up, as we've heard. I understand that, and by all means, it's one thing to say blow it up to a Met team 11 games under 500 after a losing season the year before. It's quite another to say it to a team that has made the playoffs for however many years in a row and is now in their second Eastern Conference Finals in the last 3 years. I get it. But ultimately, it's about winning the Cup. Ultimately, it's about bringing a championship back to Madison Square Garden for the first time since 1994. And quite honestly, if this is how it ends, if they go meekly in Game 6, you got to think about what you need to change to get that cup here. Because you know what? Now I no longer know if I trust Panarin to be someone who can get it for me. I don't know if I can trust Zibanejad to be someone alone who can get it for me. And Drury is not afraid to make changes. He is not, nor is the owner. This is a huge game for not only this season, but for the next few seasons and what we expect and what we will see on the ice of the New York Rangers for the next few years. So go out there and be the 94 Rangers. Lose game one like the 94 Rangers, win games two and three like the 94 Rangers, and lose games four and five just like the 94 Rangers, as long as you finish 6-7 the way they did as well.